The Ghost in the Garden Room by Elizabeth Gaskell. My friend and solicitor rubbed his bald forehead, which is quite Shakespearean, with his hand, after a manner he has when I consult him professionally, and took a very large pinch of snuff. "My bedroom," said he, "has been haunted by the ghost of a judge." "Of a judge?" said all the company. "Of a judge. In his wig and robes, as he sits upon the bench at assize time. As I've lingered in the great white chair at the side of my fire, when we have all retired for the night to our respective rooms, I have seen him and heard him. I shall never forget the description he gave me, and I have never forgotten it since I first heard it."
"Then you have seen and heard him before, Mr. Rundery," said my sister.
"Often."
"Consequently, he is not peculiar to this house?"
"By no means. He returns to me in many intervals of quiet leisure, and his story haunts me." We one and all called for the story, that it might haunt us likewise. "It fell within the range of his judicial experience," said my friend and solicitor, "and this was the judge's manner of summing it up." Those words did not apply, of course, to the great pinch of snuff that followed them, but to the words that followed the great pinch of snuff. They were these. Not many years after the beginning of this century, a worthy couple of the name of Huntroyd occupied a small farm in the North Riding of Yorkshire. They had married late in life, although they were very young when they first began to keep company with each other. Nathan Huntroyd had been farm servant to Hester Rose's father, and had made up to her at a time when her parents thought she might do better, and so, without much consultation of her feelings, they had dismissed Nathan in somewhat cavalier fashion. He had drifted far away from his former connections when an uncle of his died, leaving Nathan by this time upwards of 40 years of age enough money to stock a small farm, and yet to have something over to put in the bank against bad times. One of the consequences of this bequest was that Nathan was looking out for a wife and housekeeper in a kind of discreet and leisurely way, when one day he heard that his old love, Hester, was not married and nourishing, as he had always supposed her to be, but a poor maid-of-all-work in the town of Ripon. For her father had had a succession of misfortunes which had brought him in his old age to the workhouse. Her mother was dead, her only brother struggling to bring up a large family, and Hester herself a hard-working, homely-looking, at 37, servant. Nathan had a kind of growling satisfaction, which only lasted for a minute or two, however, in hearing of these turns of fortune's wheel. He did not make many intelligible remarks to his informant, and to no one else did he say a word. But a few days afterwards he presented himself, dressed in his Sunday best, at Mrs. Thompson's back door in Ripon. Hester stood there, in answer to the good sound knock his good sound oak stick made, she with the light full upon her, he in shadow. For a moment there was silence. He was scanning the face and figure of his old love, for 20 years unseen. The comely beauty of youth had faded away entirely. She was, as I have said, homely-looking, plain-featured, but with a clean skin and pleasant, frank eyes. Her figure was no longer round, but tidily draped in a blue and white bedgown, tied round her waist by her white apron strings, and her short red linsey petticoat showed her tidy feet and ankles. Her former lover fell into no ecstasies. He simply said to himself, "She'll do," and forthwith began upon his business.